This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Brian Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
Well, it's good to be back. Many of you guys may know, Rachel and I got to go to Alaska, and let me just tell you, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal in a natural sense, and it was phenomenal in an internal sense. You know, I took 300 pictures and about 200 videos, that was the external. Many of you guys know Samaritan's Purse was here back in May. And Rachel and I still don't know why we were selected, but we got an email from Franklin Graham inviting us to go to Alaska. And at first I thought it was a hoax, right? Somebody trying to get some money out of me, but it wasn't. It was legit. And so we went to a camp that they have been developing for pastors and for law enforcement. And every summer they take 8 weeks and they bring in pastors and they bring in law enforcement at this one camp. And then at a camp that's further west. And when I say camp, I mean there's no other people within miles, hundreds of miles. They fly you in and they feed you and they minister to you and they encourage you and they take you out on things. And they're doing that for pastors and they're doing that for law enforcement every summer. And then at another camp, they're doing it for our veterans and for warriors, people that have served in the military. And I can't tell you stories because if I do, I will cry. Because what they're doing is just phenomenal, guys. And so, I was telling the prayer team and the worship team that we're going to continue to get involved or continue working with Samaritan's Purse because, their ministry is not just disaster relief. And they'll tell you firsthand, they are disaster relief, but their primary focus is bringing people to Jesus. And any organization that's doing that has my support. Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to be light and be salt in this world. Amen? Before he returns, there are people that have yet to know him. And so we need to be putting our strength and our energy and our resources behind organizations that do that. And so that's what we're going to do. And so thankfully, we were on the receiving end of that this week. And we were not eaten by a bear or charged by a moose. And we came back safely, even though I really wanted to be. I tempted this one moose. I had seen this moose a couple different times while we were there. She had a little baby. And so I was like, the old Midwest Iowa boy, intellect kicked in. And I'm like, I really think this moose is on this little peninsula. And I think that if we get in a two-man kayak, we can get a real up-close and personal view of this moose because, it's just me, man. So I'm like, Rachel, let's go. And so we get in this kayak and I'm like, shh, we gotta paddle really quiet. So we paddle out, we come around this corner, and sure enough, there's a moose and her little baby sitting there. It was amazing. And the whole time, my wife is like, we're too close, we're too close. I'm like, no, we're not close enough. Let's get closer. They say when the ears go back and the hair go up, then you're unsafe. I didn't see either one of those things, so we were good. Amen? So it was good. But we're back, and we're excited to be back, and I know that God wants to do some things in our lives. His revelation continues in our lives, and it all is dictated upon our hunger. It's dictated upon our desire. It's dictated upon, our pursuit of Him. Amen. And so, this morning, as we look at the Word, I just encourage you to open up your heart to what the Word of God and the Holy Spirit has to say to you, because although I'm human, it's the Holy Spirit that will speak to your life. It's the Holy Spirit that will change your life forever and transform you. Amen? So let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, we just come before you today. We thank you so much for your Word. It is light. It is life to us. It illuminates the way. It helps us. It encourages us. It heals us. It gives us hope. And so today, Father, we depend on the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in John 15 if you have a Bible and you want to turn there, or if you're on a device and you want to turn there. We're going to be looking at John 15. But the first verse of scripture I want to point out here is something that Jesus told his disciples, and it says in John 15, 11, it says, that I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. I think that's interesting that Jesus was telling the disciples who he had been with for about 3 years that he was telling them some things so that what? His joy would be in them. How many of you guys want the joy of Jesus to be in you? I don't know about you, but I want that in me. And when it's in us, our joy is complete. You know, and so I ask myself the question, you know, what is it that pleases Jesus? What is the joy of Jesus? And I believe that as we look at these scriptures that precede verse 11, I think that it will illuminate this idea of what it is that Jesus wants in our life and in our heart. And so, you know, the first verse, if you remember, of chapter 15 is, it says what? I am the true vine. That's what Jesus said. It's one of the things that Jesus said to the disciples. He said, I am the true vine. Now, that word true is important to understand. Because, you know, I think that, you know, as we've honored graduates this morning, the whole heart behind this is to kind of to help these teenagers that are graduating, they're moving on, they have great ambition and drive, and they want to do things, and they want to accomplish things, and they want to go far in life. And I think that that's great. But I think that there are principles in this being one of the most very important things, and that is that we are connected to the true vine. I think in life and in the world in which we live, there are many, many things out there that try to get us to be connected to them. But that's why I think that Jesus said, I am the true vine. The true vine. There's other vines out there that you can connect your life to, but he is the only true vine. And so the number one in your notes is that Jesus is our power source. Our power source. I was gonna entitle this the P's of faithfulness. But then I looked at my notes and I looked at there, and there's one in there that's not a P. So you'll just have to figure out which one that is. But the first one is our power source. Our potential for fruitful living is unlimited because of the source. You know, when on this trip I bought this little battery pack. Can I tell you that battery pack has a limited power source? At some point, I had to plug that power block in so that I could receive more power from it. But our Heavenly Father is an unlimited power source, and Jesus is the source. And when we realize this, we will understand why Paul said in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Why? Because Jesus is the source. And so I say that to say that we become fruitful when we tap into the right source. This morning, as I waited for my daughter to come to the car, and we were a little bit behind, I watched this bird. It was the craziest thing, guys. I open the garage door, I get in the car, I back it out, and I see this bird fly in and land on the windowsill in our garage and begin to eat the dead bugs. At first I was like, thank you, Jesus, right? You know, then I don't have to vacuum them up, but this bird is in there and he flew away. And I'm sitting there waiting. Here comes the bird again. It lands in there and lands on, and I'm not kidding you guys. He came and went 6 times in and out. And my point is that he knew the source. And the same thing is true for us, is that when we understand that he is the true source, we'll come and go. We come and go every day. Lord, you are my source. You are my strength. You are my help. Just like that bird knew that the source was in my garage, and he waited for the garage door to go up, and then here he comes, in and out, in and out, in and out. And then I shut the garage door, and Lauren's like, you should leave the door open for him so he can clean up all the bugs. I was like, that's a great idea. But he knew the source. And so my question to you is, do you know the source? Do you know him? Because I think that when we get a glimpse of the unlimited power of God, Our life is different. Our way of living is different. When we go and when we walk and when we see things differently, right? We come into opportunities and people need healing or they need prayer. We know that we're connected to the source. And all I need to do is do what the Bible says and this will be done. Because why? I'm connected to the source. I am a conduit of the power of God for those that are around me. And so we just have to understand that our power source is Jesus. You know, Hudson Taylor was a great missionary to China, and he said this, that many Christians estimate difficulty in the light of their own resources. Get that? Many Christians estimate their difficulty in the light of their own resources, and thus they attempt very little, and they always fail. All the giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and his presence to be with them. And so that's what faith is, guys. Faith is understanding that he is the source. It's not my ability. It's not my talents or giftings or anything like that. It's the source that I am connected to. And so we have to get our eyes off of the fact that it's us and that it's the source that we're connected to. We need to understand, just like David did, that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Jesus is our source. Jesus is your source. And we can be directly connected to him. Remember in Colossians 2 verse 6, it's not on your notes, but it'll be up on the screen. It says, and now, this is Paul, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, listen to this, you must continue to follow him. It's a choice to continue to follow him. And get this, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. That, I believe, Paul was talking about being connected to the source. That when we allow the roots of our life to grow down deep into him, we're connected to the source. And when those get severed and when those get cut off, we run into problems, we have issues. And so it's important for us to understand that the source of our fruitfulness is our life in Jesus. John 15:1 goes on to say that I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Jesus is saying that we have potential not only in our source, but also because he cares for us. You know, my dad has this ginormous garden, and he's out there. He's caring for it. He's taking care of it. And that's what our Heavenly Father is to us. He is the gardener. He's taking care of us, and he knows everything. He has the skill, and he's an expert, and he knows exactly what needs to happen to us as the believer. Because why? Because we're a branch, and we're connected to the vine, and he is the gardener, and he's caring for us. And so here we see that he's the gardener, but he's also the owner. Did you know that? He's the owner. Think about an owner with me. Think about an owner. An owner has what? Personal interest. They care about it. It's kind of like, you know, when I was growing up, for all those teenagers in here, and you guys are probably the same way, you know, when you drive your parents' car, you're not the owner of the car. So what do? You drive it like you stole it, right? You don't care. Thankfully, my seat is not coming on me. My kids don't drive that way. They're very safe drivers. But I was not that way. But when you own something, you have a different attitude, right? There's a vested interest. You know, and I think the reassurance of what Jesus is saying is that as branches, not only is the source God, but he oversees us. He takes care of us, and he's preparing us to be productive. He's caring for our life. You know, and when a person owns something, whether it's a house or a car or something, they do. They care for it. And they take pride in it. So for instance, to kind of help you with this. So when Lauren graduated, my wife informed me that we were going to clean the garage, clean it out. And what I didn't realize that meant everything. Like everything left the garage. It all left. and it got painted. And when we got done, I was like, Rach, you know, we could just buy some furniture and put a TV in here and add some living space to the house because none of my stuff is in here. Now, some people have asked me here lately, you know, hey, have you gotten your garage back? And, you know, have you been able to move your stuff back in? And Rachel has been in on some of those conversations. And I've noticed that in those conversations, she's been making some comments that I don't necessarily agree with, because she'll say things like, yeah, we're gonna be very, very selective as to what comes back into the garage. Yeah. And I kind of look at her like, what do you mean selective? Like, and so then, you know, you begin to think about it and you realize that the things that I own, she thinks they're junk. And so she doesn't want them to come back into the garage. So what we see here is that as the owner, I see potential in these things that she sees as junk. But as the owner, I see potential in all of those things that I own. I can use that for that, I can use that for that, I can use that for that, and someday I'm gonna use that for that. Now, we laugh, but it's true. God looks at us the same way as an owner. He does not care what you've done, or where you've been, or what has happened. He sees the potential that is in your life. He sees you because he owns you, and he cares for you, and he's working with you, and he wants to bring the best out in you. And I think that if you look at this chapter of John 15, you'll understand that as we are connected to the vine, and he is the gardener, he sees these things. He cares for you. We see them as unable to get by. But he sees them as little, as nothing. He sees them as things that can be clipped off, and he sees them as things that you can move past in your life. Because why? Because he is an owner. And ownership makes a difference. God owns us. And so when he looks at our life, he doesn't look at our life like an observer. He looks at our life as an investor. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says it this way, "Do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, and whom you have received from God? You're not your own, you were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." And so we know with all of our heart, guys, that we as his children are not our own. He is our owner, and he loves us, and he cares for us. He wants us to be fruitful. And when we say, you know what, Lord, I know that you're my owner, and I know that you care for me, and you're going to help me, it changes our mindset to help us to understand that, man, he's there, and he cares for me. The third thing is that God not only is as a gardener and as an owner, but this one you're going to love, he prunes us. Is our pruning. Number three, our pruning. Pruning increases the potential for fruitful living. Now, I can tell you this firsthand. I've got these bushes out in front of my house. I mean, the first row is so big, it is growing up over the back row of bushes. And this year, you know, my dad has always cautioned me, you know, you can only cut about 8 to 10 inches off these bushes, right? So last winter, I only cut about 8 to 10 inches off these things. And this year, I'm like, that's it. These things are just, they need a good pruning, right? I don't even care if I kill them, I will replant. So I cut these suckers down, man. I pruned them way back and just let them have it. And then I stood back, and then as spring came on, I'm not kidding you, every time we drove in the driveway, Lisa, can I get a testament to this? Our bushes look amazing. My wife, we would come in, she's like, Brian, they look, I know, thanks. It was my trim job. But my point is that pruning increases the potential for fruitful living. We don't like to be cut back. We don't like to cut things off. It's not fun. When it's a bush that's in the front yard, we love it. But when it comes to our lives, we don't necessarily think that it's good. But I'm here today to tell you that if you will allow him to prune some things from your life, you will be more fruitful. I don't know about you, but I want to be more fruitful in life. And so John 15:2 says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes it so that it'll be more fruitful. God wants to remove everything that hinders our usefulness. He wants to remove those things in our lives that keep us from being useful. And so my question to you is what is hindering you from being useful? What's hindering you from being fruitful? What is dead in your life that has no fruit? Maybe it's a failure. Maybe it's a mistake that you've been holding on to. Maybe it's an association, a relationship, a friendship, a habit, a way of thinking, an attitude. I don't know what it is. You know, you can go to Galatians 5 and it has a list of things, a list of fruit that we do not want in our lives. But how many of you guys want to know that when we cut off, we're going to be more fruitful? And so I just encourage you, man, that whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in this moment, say, you know what, Lord, I accept that. I will do something. I surrender that to you. I surrender that thing that is dead in my life, and I understand that when I cut it off, I will become more fruitful. He knows that if he doesn't cut us back, our energy will continue to go towards that thing that is dead in our lives. And so we got to get rid of it. I don't want to spend the rest of my life, you know, investing energy into something that's dead. No, I want to invest energy into what is going to bring fruit and bring fruitfulness in my life. God knows exactly what needs to be pruned from our lives. You guys, I don't know, some of you guys may not remember this, but back in the old days, before railroads, they would float logs down rivers. Did you know that? Yeah, some of you younger people, you may not know that, but they used to. They used to cut down the trees, throw them in the river, and then send all these logs down the river. But what would happen is that these logs would get jammed up. And so what these guys would do is they would climb up on top of a tree, tall tree. They'd look at the river and they'd see where it was bound up. And then they would go out there with a small piece of dynamite, which I think would be cool. They don't sell that stuff anymore, but they went out there, they lit that sucker, they put it where the problem was, and they would have an explosion that would loosen it up, and then all the logs would begin to flow again. I believe that that's how our God is. He sees the dead things. He sees the things that are stopped up, and he wants to set a small explosion in your life to loosen things up. The question is are you going to let him do it? Amen? Because he wants your life to be fruitful. Hebrews 12:1 says that he cuts off the sin that so easily entangles us. So what he wants to prune in us is the very thing that will keep us from being the person that we really want to be. I believe that everybody in here, that we want to be fruitful, but we have to understand that there's things that he has to prune from our life. Fruitfulness depends on the pruning. And so fourth is this, our partnership. John 15:4 says, remain, some of your Bibles will say abide, but remain in me or abide in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. That's key. So if you're here today and you think that I can do this on my own, the word of God is clear. You cannot do it on your own. You have to be connected. You have to remain in him because it says right here, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And you know, when you look at that verse of scripture, guys, 10 times in 6 verses, Jesus tells us to remain in him. And I believe that Jesus is saying that when we connect with the vine, everything will be fine. So if there's something in your life that's not fine right now, you just need to check up and say, okay, is there something in my life that I need to cut off and prune? And am I connected? Am I remaining in the vine just as he told me to? You know, Robert Morrison headed to China as a missionary and he was on this boat. And the captain was skeptical of his dream that God had given him to go to the country of China. And he gave Morrison a hard time. And as Morrison was leaving the ship, the captain said to him, I suppose that you think that you're going to make an impression on China. And Robert Morris simply replied, no, sir, I believe that God will. You know, that tells me that he was connected. He was remaining and abiding in this vine of Jesus. And so Morrison, he was in partnership with God. Partnership with God gives us a sense of confidence, right? It gives us a sense of confidence. I can remember one time we were in a parking lot, me and a friend of mine in high school, and we were not small people, and we had a couple guys come up to us, and they wanted to pick a fight with us. I know, I'm a likable guy, I couldn't believe it either. But they walked up beside us, and they were trying to, you know, antagonize us to fight them. You know, in that moment, I was so thankful that I was with a really, really big dude. I was in partnership. I had him and he was with me, and I knew that between the two of us, we could lay a smackdown on these guys. It would not be a problem. We didn't. I can report back that we didn't. We held back. But the point is that partnership with God is important. You know, and I believe that that's why the Bible is filled with so many scriptures that encourage us when it comes to this partnership that we have with God. It says in Philippians 2:13 that God, for it is God who works with you. Did you know that? That God is working with you in his life, both to do and to will for his good pleasure. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that we are God's fellow workers. Luke 1:37 says that for nothing is impossible with God. That is a partnership, guys. And that's a great partnership that we can have. We're not alone in this life. We're not alone in our connection with him. The things that those branches and those things that need to be cut off, we're not alone. And he can help us. Amen. So almost lastly, we also have potential for fruitfulness because of what? Number five, our promise. John 15:7 says that if we remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Now, here's the thing. There's a couple things you need to get from that. And that is, number one, that the promises of God are conditional. When we read the Word of God, there's conditions that are attached to it. You know, and that's why I believe that throughout the Bible, it's dictated on our obedience, our choice in the matter. And secondly is that we have to ask according to the word. So his promises are great, but it has to be according to the word. And Jesus was saying that if you remain in me, get this, remain in me, our delight will be in him. So much of what we ask has to be according to his will. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But unfortunately, what happens, guys, is sometimes we switch the two. We get our desires in front of our delight. And what it's saying here is, as you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. All these things that you want, it's just like Matthew 6:33 says, you put first the kingdom of God and all the other things will be added unto you. Delight yourself in me and all the other things will be added unto you. All the other desires will be added unto you. Delight comes before desire. And so God promises that if we delight in him, we will desire the things that we need and he will give it to him. And so it's just in that order. And then lastly is this. Our potential for fruitfulness is great because of our life's purpose. John 15:8 says that this is to my Father's glory that you bear fruit, showing yourself to my disciples. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that we were created to be fruitful. Each and every person that sits in here today was created by God to be fruitful in this earth. That is your purpose. And so if you're here today and you say, I don't know what my purpose is, it says right here that your purpose in life is to be fruitful. And the only way that you can be fruitful is to be connected to the vine, which is Jesus. And so today, if you're struggling with purpose and you're questioning, you know, why you're here and what you're doing and why are we doing this, maybe, you're not connected to the vine. My encouragement today is that you would connect to the vine. Connect to Jesus. Because as it says in John 15:16, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it. Choosing to be fruitful, choosing to be a fruitful in our living. And so today, lastly, my purpose in life is to be fruitful. Your purpose in life is to be fruitful. John 15:11 says that I have told you these things so that your joy might be full. That's where we started. He wants our joy to be full. So guys, today, as we bring this to a close, my encouragement to you is that if you've kind of stepped away from the vine, my encouragement would be to get back, abide, remain, live in. Every day, say, I have to connect to the source. I have to plug in to the source in everything that I do, in my time of prayer, in devotion, my church, my relationships. I'm gonna connect to the source of my life, amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the source. We thank you that you do want us to be fruitful. And Father God, I just pray today that as we leave this place, that we would just do an inventory of our lives and ask the question, are there things in my life that I need to cut off? What is it that is holding me back? What is it that's keeping me from being useful for your work and for your will and for your purpose? And Father, I thank you that as we do that, and as you answer us, Father, I thank you that you will strengthen us to cut off that which is dead. Because we know that when we cut it off, it's only going to increase our fruitfulness in life. And we thank you, Father, for that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know that everybody in here, I don't know if you have a relationship with him. I don't know if you're connected to the vine, but I want to make sure that you are. And so if you're here today and you've never made that decision to say, Brian, I am not connected to the vine and I want to be connected, just raise up your hand and I would be happy to pray for you. Is there anybody in here? Or maybe you're just far from the Lord. Okay, I got that one. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? You've never made a decision. Okay, I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else that you've never made a decision to follow Christ? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else that wants to join these three? All right. We're going to pray as a congregation with these three. Amen. Because they're gonna make a choice to follow Jesus today. And so if you didn't raise your hand and you wanted to, just pray this prayer with me and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son Jesus, that he gave his life for me so that I might be saved. Today, I repent and I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I thank you for accepting me and loving me and welcoming me into the family in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, if you were one of those people, when we dismiss today at the end after our baptism and you pray that prayer and you want some resources to strengthen and help you and encourage you, we've got a prayer team. They'll be down here off to the left here and you can come down. They'll pray with you. They'll give you resources and help you. Amen.